Boker Tov, we are in chapter 30 of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and we got up to Pasuk 16. So what happened? The Amaleki people, they attacked Ziklag, and they took all the plunder, they took all the wives and the children, and then what happened? They come back, David and his people come back from the war on the side of the Pelishtim. They come back from the camp on the Pelishti side. They go back to Tziklag and they see everything has been taken, including the women and the children and all the money, and everything has been burnt. So the people are furious and they're about to stone David. So he asks Hashem, could I go down and defeat these people? And Hashem says, yes, you can go and you will defeat them. So they start going down, and then they see a Mitzri person who is about to die of starvation. So they give him food and give him water, not knowing that he necessarily belongs to the Amaleki people. Well, when he wakes up and when he's rejuvenated, he turns out he's a servant of an Amaleki people, Amaleki person who just left him to die, which shows you how messed up the Amaleki people were. And then he instructs them as to where to find the Pelishtim. And the 15th Pasuk, they found the Pelishtim and they see them all celebrating and having a good time with all the plunder of David's people. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayakem David mehane shefi ad ha'arev l'machoratam. So on the next day, David struck them from the morning until the night. Ve'lo nimlat mehem ish. Not one of them got away. Not one of these Amaleki people got away. Ki im arba meot ish na'ar asher rachavu l'gimalim v'yanusu. Except for 400 men, young people who got away on camels. But everybody else, David and his people, slaughtered. Vayatzel David et kol asher lakecho Amalek v'etchetein nashav itzil David. And David saved everything that Amalek took. And he saved his two wives, who were Ahinoam Israeli and Abigail Eshed Nabal Karmeli. Okay? So he saved everyone. Velo ne'adar lehem min hakaton ve'ad hagadol ve'ad banim uvanot umishalal ve'ad kol asher lakechu lehem hakol hashiv David. And they were not lacking anything, young, old, sons, daughters, or any of the plunder that they took. They didn't lack anything. David got everything back. He also got more. Vayikach David et kol hatzon ve'abakar. He took all the sheep and the cattle. Nahagu lifnei hamikne hahu vayemiru ze shelal David. Translate that.
This is the booty of David, like the.
Three words before that.
David took all the Amalekite sheep and cattle. They led them before all that.
Yeah, they led them before the camp, and people were saying that this is the spoils or the booty of David. Okay, now Radak has an interesting comment here. They would take all of the cattle and the sheep and they were putting it before the camp, as was their way. And when the cattle would bump in the fences of the fields, they weren't like avoiding going on these places. They were, they would break through the fences. And they would go in a straight way. And whenever the people who owned the fields were telling them, hey, what are you guys doing? It's my field. Stop trampling it. The servants of David say, this is the spoils of David. He's a king, so he has the right to pass through anybody's field. And this was all only this was like a temporary thing that they did in order to get back home. Now, I don't know. It's a strange Radak to me. I don't know why the Radak. The Pasuk, he's trying to explain why the Pasuk tells us that they called it the spoils of David. So the Peshat is, because they were proud. Wow, this is the spoils that David got from the Amaleki people. So they called it the spoils of David because everybody was about to stone him. He was under a lot of pressure and single-handedly he led them to victory. So you called it the spoils of David. For some reason, the Radak found the need to avoid that interpretation, which is, seems very simple, that call it the spoils of David because we're happy that David won it for us. And instead he says, they were calling it spoils of David because there were farmers that were getting upset at them for walking home on and trampling on their fields. And they were saying, oh, this is David's thing, so let us trample your field. Evidently, people that were loyal to the, that would have understood that David has the right to trample their field. I don't know. But apparently there was such a thing that kings had the right to pass through anybody, any field that they want. It was called Derech HaMelech, no?
It's where eminent domain comes from.
Yeah, eminent domain, the king had. Actually, Derech HaMelech would have been something else. Because Derech HaMelech... Whatever, I won't get into it. All right. So I don't know what the Radak is saying there. I just found it. When I read it 2 days ago...
There are laws about, like, if your neighbor, if your sheep is from... If your cattle does something to your neighbor's cattle, or if it causes damage to your neighbor's property...
For sure. There are laws of Mishpatim, yes, in which... We have civil laws of damages.
But this wouldn't apply to a king.
It didn't, apparently not. And I don't know why the Radak assumes that this is what's going on. I found this Radak very fascinating 2 days ago. I thought I'd read it just because it's such a strange one. And yeah. Okay. So, Vayabo David el Matayim Anashim Asher Pigeru Milechet Achare David. David goes back to the 200 people who stayed back from coming with David. Mm-hmm. Who are these 200 people? The people that never crossed that Nachal. Mm-hmm. People that never crossed that brook. They didn't join them in war. There were 600 people total. 200 remained and watched the things. And 400 out actually went to war. And those people, those 200, they came out to greet David. And to the people that were with him. David And David, he approached with the people. And he asked these people how they're doing. He said, he opened to them in peace. Bayan kol ishra uvliya al meha anashim asher alchuim David. Then these 200 people didn't go out to war. So of the 400 people, a lot of the bad ones, they started saying the following: Vayomiru yan asher lo alchuim me, because they didn't go out with me. These people, lo niten lehem ashalal asher itzalnu. We're not going to give them of the spoils that we saved. Ki imish et ishto bet banavi nagubei alchu. Every person could take their family and they can go, but of the spoils, that which we saved and that which we got extra, we're going to keep for ourselves. Okay, so this is what the people want to say. Now, what do you think? Has David shown that he typically gives in to the will of the lower element within his thing? No. So, Vayomer David, lo tasu chenechai.
The introduction of these people is also important.
Yeah, the fact that it introduces them as ishbiliya'al, bad people. Okay, so David answers them, excuse me, lo tasu chenechai. Don't do the following, my brothers. Et asher natan Adonai lanu v'yishmor otanu. What God gave us, and He took care of us. V'yiten tagidu daba alenu b'yadenu. And He gave us this brigade. He gave us into their hands. This was all an act of God. Meaning, why is He saying that it was an act of God? It's not up to you to decide who gets the spoils. You don't just say, oh, we were the ones who fought, so we get the spoils. No, Borei Olam fought this battle. So Borei Olam, so the spoils need to be treated in an equitable way. Borei Olam is the one who gave us this victory. Don't be so arrogant and say you guys are the victors here, so you get to keep the spoils. And besides, for the fact that it's not even fair, because Borei Olam is the one who won this battle for us, who's going to listen to this? Because it's not even rational. Why? Because it's not like they didn't do anything. The people, you need people to stay back. There are people that are involved. The people who stay back and watch, they still have to be armed and be protecting the things that are back at home. So those people didn't do nothing. So then you need to pay them. Just like the people who went down to the war, the people who went down and were staying back and were watching all of the items and the vessels, they will split evenly. Now, what does it mean, split evenly? Because if they split 50-50, then more people went to war than people who stayed back. So then if you split 50-50, 400 to 200, then the people who stayed back make even more.
No, evenly means...
Evenly makes...
You have 600, right, 200 goes here, 400 goes right, here,
exactly,
one for each.
Exactly. Perfect.
Equally.
Everybody should get an equal portion. Why? For two reasons. One, because Borei Olam is the one who won this war for us. So don't be so arrogant and say that you were the one who did it. So the amazing thing, by the way, that David is talking like this. It shows how ready he is for leadership. He never gives in to... Throughout Shmuel Aleph, he never once gave in to the will of the people that were with him. Whether it was his people telling him to kill Shaul, whether it was Avishai telling him to kill Shaul, or whether it's the people here telling him not to split the spoils evenly, he never listens. And here, he points out the most important thing which a king needs to know, is that the king recognizes that he's not the one who's winning. It's Borei Olam who's winning. And he shows that he recognizes that in the fact that the spoils, he's not giving in and taking spoils for the quote-unquote victors, because he doesn't see those people as the actual victors. And from that day on, it was made a rule in Israel until this day, that what? that spoils are always split between the people who stay back and the people who go out to war. The people who go out to war are not exclusively taking rights to the spoils that they win. That became a rule in Israel, that's based on the philosophical principle of that Borei Olam is the one who won the war. Okay, Vayavo David El Siklag Vayshalach Me'ashal Zignei Yudal Re'ayhu Lemor Hinei Lachem Berachah Mishalal Oyvei Adonai. David comes back to Siklag and he sends from the spoils to the elders of Yehuda to his friends, saying, "This is the beracha." So much noise. Okay, this is the beracha from the enemies of God. This is the bracha of God from the enemies of God. La'asher b'vet el, la'asher b'ramot negev, la'asher b'yatir. He sent it to all these people. He sent it to the people in Ramot Negev and Yatir, Aroer, Sifmot, Eshtemoa. Berachal, Areha Hayirach Me'eli, Areha Keni, he sends gifts from the war to all of these people. V'lasher bechorma, v'lasher bechor Ashan, v'lasher be'atach, v'lasher bechevron, v'chol ha'mekomot asher telech sham David u'banashav. All of the places that David and his people went. So what is David's last move here? Once he comes back from battle, he sends thank you gifts to all of the people, all of the Jewish people who were helping him hide while he was running around in the desert, because this is the first time in David's life that he's found a little bit of stability. He's home in Siklag. He has money. He just won a war against the enemies of the Jewish people. He has wealth for the first time. He's not running away as a poor man. He has an army. He has wealth. And now he's showing gratitude to all the people who are with him throughout the way. Shayu machbim otom ibn Shaul, Rashi says. All the people that along the way were helping him hide from Shaul. So all these cities in Yehuda that while David was in the desert running away from Shaul were helping him, they all get paid back. Now in the next chapter, we go back to Shaul and the war with Pelishtim. It's the last chapter of the book. We'll see what happens in that war. Baruch Adonai Zalam. Amen. Amen. So interesting concept before we close. Why was David so sensitive to the fact that the people who stayed back should get paid? So Shelby's saying that maybe because how did the Amaleki people capture Siklag in the first place? Well, they captured Siklag because all of the people who lived in Siklag, all the men of fighting ability, went out to war with the Pelishtim. And when they came back, there was nobody there. And that's why the Amaleki had a free ride and were able to take whatever they wanted.
That's how the tragedy
started. So whenever they go out to the next war against the Amaleki, they correct this mistake and they leave 200 back. But they're not going to penalize those 200 people because they realize from that Siklag situation how essential they are. So I think that's a very, very nice interpretation. I think it's definitely there's some truth there. Okay, Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen v'amen.